churches near them, and they really said, please, can we just have somebody come and help us a little bit? The poor Pastor Alistair there is preaching every Sunday, so Anton is preaching there. That is why he's not here. I believe he will be back next Sunday. I think. I'm not sure who's preaching next Sunday. We'll have to look at the roster. Then, before we share the word, I really want to invite you. We have intercession on a Sunday evening afternoon at 5 o'clock. And something that I have discovered that I maybe was aware of or maybe not so aware of was that when we had Bible school and we are busy with the prayer, with the module on the school of prayer, and we opened up just a discussion on prayer and specifically intercession, and it came out that many of us are too afraid to come to the church intercession because we think we do not know how to pray. Is that right? And I've realized that, and it really came as a realization to me that, wow, we need to change this. We really need to change this. And I think what happens sometimes is that people come to intercession and there are really experienced intercessors there. And our church specifically has been blessed with a very special intercession and people who have been really called to intercession and people who pray many hours and pray during the nights. And there are not as many churches as us who has been blessed with people like that. And for that we are extremely grateful. We are really, we thank God for that because there's just so much to learn from these people. But at the same time we found that people who come to intercession for the first time, maybe they cannot pray in tongues, maybe they've never prophesied, and prophecy is just speaking God's, what God is saying. That really is what prophecy, the bottom line of what it is. Or people who just think that they cannot pray. So I want to speak to you. And I want to invite you because our Sunday evening, there is some specialized intercession happening in our town. There are people who get together who are really, really experience that intercession and they really pray maybe on a level and a way that not all of us pray. But there is church intercession and that is for the church. So if you want to come to intercession, but firstly you think you are not good enough, or secondly you think you do not know how to pray, or you cannot pray in tongues, or at intercession they use words that you do not understand, like some people say every second word, they just simply do not know what it means, or you are intimidated by somebody else's prayers, then I really want to invite you to come, because then it really is for you. And if you want to come and not open your mouth once, that is absolutely fine. That is just perfect. You don't have to open your mouth. You can agree in your heart. And maybe in a week or a month or a year's time, you will pluck up the courage to open your mouth. And chances that you speak a word of God will be very good. And maybe you want to open your mouth, but you fear that somebody is going to tell you, you are missing it completely, you don't know what you pray, or what you prayed for is completely wrong. That will not happen. I promise you, I am there. But apart from the fact that I am there, and I see to it that it does not happen, it does not happen. There is nobody coming to intercession to judge anybody else. And you know, Jesus looked at two people. He looked at the poor sinner and he looked at the Pharisee. And the poor sinner could not even, he said, God help me, I'm a sinner, just help me. And the Pharisee said, thank you God that I am not like that man there. And God says, I want to have nothing to do with that Pharisee's prayer. I do not relate to it. I'm interested in the poor man's prayer. And I can promise you there are people who pray big words and they make strange noises and they do mighty acts, but it is meaningless because there is no fruit in their lives. If you do not have the vocabulary, God does not need vocabulary. He needs hearts that are turned towards Him. And if there are people in our intercession who can really pray well, whose English is very good, many of us, English is our second language, like me, you can even come and pray in Zulu. You can, if it's Augustine and Julia, are they here? You can pray in French. Did you know they speak French? It's very amazing that we have French people in our church. I tell everybody we have French people, French-speaking people in our church. Whatever it may be, it really is about your heart. And we want to encourage you, 5 o'clock we get together, whether we are 2 or whether we are 2,000. God says, where 2 or more are gathered. We're not very, we don't really care about how many we are. We care about the fact that you will know you are most welcome to come. You are good enough. You come as you are. The only thing that is a good thing to take note of is it is good to prepare yourself. So this is all we ask before you come to intercession at 5 o'clock. You just come to God and just repent of whatever sin there is in your life that you are aware of. You don't have to try and find sin. You know, sometimes we feel so guilty. We come to God and we try and make up sin to repent of because we think there must be something terrible. You don't have to do that. Just come to God and say, God, I'm going to intercession and I want to stand in the gap. That just means I pray on behalf of somebody who is not praying. And I just want to pray for other people. I want to be selfless and spend an hour not praying for myself. And I want you to just, by the blood of Jesus, just cleanse me and just purify me. And then I am ready to come and pray. And we really want to encourage you. Church intercession is for the church. It is not for specialized intercessors who not only, obviously we want our specialized intercessors there, but there are other places where we intercede as well. And what we do at this intercession, we really make it for, we all understand what is going on. We make it clear, we make it simple, because God looks at our hearts and He's looking for unity. If we all agree in our hearts, that is good enough for God. So, 5 o'clock at Charles Sillier Street, 89A, every Sunday, and you are more than welcome to come. We would love to have you there. Amen. Let's quickly pray before we go any further. Father, we want to lift up to You our thanksgiving today, God. Father, we want to thank You for the color in this hall this morning, Father. Father, we thank You that Thursday was such a significant day in the history of this town, Father, where 150 women of all cultures and colors and languages came together, God, representing our whole community, Father, crying out to You. Father, we bless You for it. We worship You for it, Father. We thank You for what You are doing in our midst, God. We lift You up, Lord, and we say, Jesus, it is all about You. God, it is all about You, and we thank You for the bread and the wine this morning. We thank You for the beautiful word that Yaku shared from such a pure heart of what You did for us, God. God, we worship You, God, and we want You to know that our desire is that we will be a pleasing people unto You. That we will please You with our faith and that we will please You with our worship. In the name of Jesus, amen. Okay. May I ask for water, even if it's any water is okay. Thanks, Georgie. I will even do the tap thing. God will protect me. Okay. What, Brendan? Brendan, you must behave yourself here in the front. Otherwise, I'm going to send you to the back. Okay. You will remember a while ago I was preaching quite an intense sermon on who we are, explaining who we as a church group are, and where we come from, and where God is taking us. Who of you were here? I just want an indication. Okay. Now, I would really encourage you, you can Google Shofar Standerton, and then you can go to Downloads, and you can download all our sermons. It's up there about a couple of days after the Sunday. You can find it there. Very easy to download, much less hassle than ordering the DVD or the CD. And if you can find time, you can really go and listen to that, because that will just... Thank you, Georgie. And that would just give us a good idea of really who we are as a church group, and where we come from, and where we are going to. Now, what I want to share this morning is that was who we are, and the word that I want to share this morning, if we can just put it up, please, Joe, is who you are. So, who of you know who you are? Some of us. I once heard a story of a girl that could not speak English very well, and she was looking after children, and she wanted to say, "What on earth are you doing?" They were naughty, and she said, "What are you doing on earth?" So I want to know this morning, who are you? We had a family gathering this weekend. My parents live here in Amersfoort. And my brother's little boy is 3 years old. And, he does not call my mother, who is his granny, Oma. He does not call her Oma. He calls her Amersfoort. Whenever he speaks to her, he calls her Amersfoort. So this morning we are speaking about who you are and who I am. And where do we fit in this whole picture? Oh, let me just quickly stop myself there. I'm sorry, I know I interrupt myself, and maybe it's a little bit of a bad habit. We do not have children's church this morning because of the long weekend and because of an extremely busy 2 weeks behind us, and it seems that our children's church teachers do everything else as well, so... if we have more children's church teachers, I'm hinting here. No, you only need to do it if God speaks to you, but we really need to give them a break. So please just welcome the kids here this morning. They are not a distraction. Thank you. Okay. What I want to convey to us this morning is, now that we know who we are, where do I personally, individually, fit into this whole picture? And I basically want to speak about the fact that every one of you chose to be here this morning. And I really want to commend you for choosing to be here, because nobody is forcing you to come. And I know that some people are here, and in their hearts, they are angry with God. They are disappointed, they are hurt, they are broken, but they still decided to come. And I really want to commend you, because now God is not saying, now you are angry at me and then you dare come to church. God is the opposite of the way we are. So God says, I am so glad that you come, because that shows that there is still a little bit of hope in your heart, still a little bit of trust in your heart. That is good enough for God. You give Him something to work with. So I really want to thank you for being here. And I want to speak about the fact that you choose to be here, and many people who did not choose, who are not here this morning, who could not be here, but who choose to be a part of our church. And where do you fit in? Now, I was really, really extremely blessed and grateful and joyful about this women's conference that we had on Thursday. Who was there? I know we asked, but then we were... Okay, all of the ladies were there. What was it like? You know, my family came, which was a first for me. It's new for me that they're interested. Don't just keep it here. And you know, I really said, God, please, you know, just be here, make it okay. And they went home, and my one aunt that was here yesterday, exactly a year ago, she was almost murdered. It's a miracle that she lived. She was raped and stabbed with a knife and hurt in all kinds of ways one evening in her house. And that was, for the family, obviously still a very difficult thing to deal with. And she survived miraculously. She lost so much blood. She survived. And living to bear the scars of that physically, and obviously it's a process of healing now. But she was here, and that was so special. And, you know, I was thinking, if God could touch her, if God could speak to her, if God could be real to her, having been through that, He could be real to anybody who was here. And she came to me afterwards and she said, God touched me. God touched me in such a deep place. And I was just amazed, because what we did here, and you should have seen it, man. Even if you were a man, you would have been ask Jock. It looked, he was here. It looked just amazing. And all of that we just do so that people will feel loved and welcomed, so that they can open their hearts for God. And what amazed me the most was how the women just worked together to make this thing happen. Not one or two or three, 20. How many? More than 20. And how every individual woman decided, I'm going to do my bit to make this happen. And the amazing thing about that is that we are all different, with different personalities and different ideas of how things should be done, and different opinions. But we were all willing to lay it down for the common purpose, to create a day where women can have an encounter with God. And when I went home, I realized, for me personally, the most amazing thing was not actually the way that God touched the women's hearts, which was obviously the purpose. But to me, being one of the leaders of this church, the most amazing thing was the way that we worked together in unity towards a common purpose, and how that changed the lives of people out there. And that not one of us could do that on our own. If there was not somebody willing to serve the coffee, somebody to lay the tables, somebody to welcome the women, somebody to make the book, what, a zillion little things and big things and great things, then it would never be possible. And the fact that as a church, God is calling us, and I want to read to you that very well-known scripture that we all know, most of us will know, and it's always this makes for an excellent children's church lesson. If you have children's church and you didn't have time to prepare, you can use this, it always works. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 14 to 18. I love the way that God wants us to understand. The Word of God, now I know some books like Leviticus and Isaiah and those things are sometimes difficult for us, but there are so many things in the Word of God that he puts it so simple. Every teaching that Jesus had was just a story of everyday things to illustrate profound principles. Now listen to this, 1 Corinthians 12 verse 14. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot... Imagine this in children's church. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as He chose. And of course, Jesus is the head, which is without, you know, if you, you can, the head, without the head, there is nothing. Now, it is amazing how clear it is here that God put together a body. And the reason why I'm sharing this scripture is because I want you and every one of you, whether I know you well or not at all, is that you will understand your importance. Because I tell you this morning, you can have people up on stage and you can have those seen by everybody and admired by everybody, and you can have those with the guts of Anna Marie just taking on anything and just make it happen with together with other women. But without every member of the body, it can never be what it should be. Never. And then the scripture goes on, and I didn't want to read all of it, but then it says, the lesser members of the body, which we count as insignificant, is actually more important. Isn't that amazing? Because if there is nobody behind to help with the tea and the coffee, it would not be the same. If there is nobody, you know, some people are always like Joe at the back at the laptop. And those with the microphone tend to get, me included, very irritated very quickly with the sound and the because we think, well, what's the problem there? But if I go and sit there, I promise you it would be a gigantic flop. I do not have the nerves. It would freak me out 1,000 times. I would be so nervous if I had to do that. You know, that could seem like a smaller member. Or to those of us who are not computer literate, we think probably it's the biggest member, but that could seem insignificant, but we cannot do without that. And what we need to understand, and that's why I would love for you to go and listen to that sermon, Who We Are. We need to understand God is calling us as a unit, and we are here, and He wants to take us there, and it is going to take all of us to get us there. So what I am saying to you this morning is, we need you. This is like a sounds like I'm advertising something. We need you to make this thing work. You know, I often think how just the different ways in which people are being used for the kingdom of God. We were recently organizing a mission trip, and we had to unfortunately postpone that, but it is still going to happen. So Nick is here at church. Nick is a family member of Shannon, and Nick is not very talkative, and you know, it's just the different, God made us all different. It is so amazing, and he really is not very talkative. He's not very out there. But when we had to go on this mission trip, we really, when we are planning, and this is still going to happen, we are in desperate need of a 4x4 and somebody with mechanical experience. Without that, we can go nowhere. And then Nick came, and he says, I have a 4x4, and I know everything about mechanics, and I want to go, and I can get leave from my work. And I was just thinking, God, you are so good. Because you know what we need and who we need and when we need them. And you are adding unto us. And the amazing thing about this is that Nick's reward is waiting for him in heaven. His contribution is priceless. But few people are going to run up to him and sing his praises. You know, it's just the 4x4. But the fact of the matter is his contribution. And if you think about it, and I will, no, let me not run ahead of myself. The fact that God says every single one is needed, and something that I've realized being a leader in church, which is extremely challenging if you didn't know it, and mobilizing people is really the skill to see what is every individual's passion, and we all have it. What is their contribution, and get them to come out with it. And that is when it is going to work, because then it is our church, it is our vision, and we make it happen. Now then, there's something that we should also understand. When we do not bring our contribution, God can raise up somebody else. God is not that desperate for us. But we will miss out on a reward here on earth and a reward in heaven. And I can assure you, on Thursday, all of us who were involved, especially the ladies who worked here in this hall for hours, who prepared for hours, who prayed, who cried, who went through all that it took to make it happen, the joy that we experienced was already enough. We already had our reward. But the amazing thing is, when we come to heaven, those women who were touched here and who became born again here and who became healed here, we will get another reward in heaven because we were a part of that. Now listen to this. Matthew 25 verse 15, Jesus tells another story like he used to tell amazing stories of everyday things. And I'm not going to read the whole story, but it's about the talents, and some of you might know the story. And there was a master, and he went away, and to the one person he gave 5 talents, to the one, was it 2 or 3? 2, and to the one he gave 1 talent, and he said, do the best that you can with this, which was actually money, referring to talents, gifts, and abilities that God is giving us. And he said, when I come back, I want to see what you did. Now listen to this. Matthew 25 verse 15. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. That speaks about the fact that every one of us that is sitting here have talents. Yes, some people have more. Let's not be jealous of them. God can determine. You know, I know a girl, she looks like a model, she walks like a model, she talks like a model, she's completely humble, she can sing like an angel, she can play the keyboard, the piano like nobody else can, and she's a gynecologist with a massive salary. Her husband is a rocket scientist with an even bigger salary. They have children. You know, you can look at her and you can go, well, God, this is so unfair. Or you can make a peace with the fact that some people have more talents. Some people are pretty and some are more average. We had our family gathering yesterday, and my cousins seem all, I don't know, this obviously is a blessing coming from our family line, but there is so much money. And the cars were standing there, you know, I don't even know what the, one of it was a Jaguar, I think. And I'm like, okay, God, so where are we? Where do we fit in all of this? But, you know, we are actually the richer than all of them if we really want to compare. But the fact is, God decides, and He's God, and He can decide. You and my responsibility is to determine what the talents are that God gave me, even if it is one, a teeny, teeny, weeny little one. Even it is, if there's one thing that you can do well, man, you can do that thing better than anybody if God's anointing comes over you. If it is, we had a lady in our church in Potch, and her absolute gifting was to clean. She could clean like nobody could clean. She could come into a kitchen and just get it look amazing. She could make a bed like nobody could make a bed. And she came to me with these wonderful words, the best words I've ever heard. She said, God is calling me to serve you in your house. It was a Tani Ann. She was 74. And I said, Tani Ann, are you going to come and actually clean my house? She said, once a week, I'm coming to your house. And she could feed my children like nobody could feed them. And she brought so much joy to that church and that town with that gift. We should determine whether I have one talent or 50 talents. It's really irrelevant. It really is irrelevant. And we are not going to put anybody on a pedestal because they have more talents or they are prettier. We don't care how many talents you have, as long as you use it. That is the thing. That is what God is saying. So, what we are saying is, you must bring your gift. You must bring your ability. And some of us, our ability is to do business and to network. And we can network with very wealthy, influential people, and that can create sponsorships for projects towards the poor, towards the needy. Some of us cannot do that at all, but we can teach women how to do needlework, how to employ them, be self-employed, whatever it may be. But the fact of the matter is, you can have a talent and you can use that. And I'm not speaking about spiritual gifts here necessarily. You can use that for the kingdom of God or not. And if you use it to enhance God's kingdom, it will bear eternal fruit. It will be worth your time. Can I say that again? If you use that ability that God has given you, whatever it may be, to enhance God's kingdom, it will bear eternal fruit and it will be well worth your time. If you use it for your own benefit, it will not bear eternal fruit. And actually, it will. When it stops right then and there. When you die, it is over. It is just over. So, how many are you in it for? Excuse me. I gave a couple of people the responsibility to discipline my children while I'm preaching. So what we are saying is, you need to bring your gift. And what is really needed for us is to realize and understand, are you still with me? I feel like I'm losing you. Okay. That you need to realize and understand that I must come and make known what my gift is. Because the leadership of this church do not have the ability to read your mind or to see you when you do what you do best. Rihanna is not here, but she did the catering for us on Thursday. And the compliments were multifold. And everybody said, who did this? Who did this? Who did this? The Word of God says, a man's gift will make room for him. We all have a gift that will make room for us. Where will it make room for us? Right here in the body of Christ. This is where it will make room for us. We had this lady on Thursday that was singing. What did you think about that girl? You know, I heard that she was quite good, and Anton heard her, and he said to me, listen, this girl is really good. I don't know her well. I know her a little bit. And I just felt, as I prayed, God said she must come. So I said, will you come? And she said, yes. She's very shy, very, almost like a severe introvert, almost, it seems. And she went onto the stage, very shy, and she said, Jelle kan maar sit. And I was thinking, oh, this girl's really shy now. And she started singing. And I was like, oh, my word. Can it be that this voice comes out of this little body? And I went home and I immediately phoned Pastor Fred May, because Shofar is a worship church. And I said, do you know this girl? This is her name. This is where she lives. Have you ever heard her? He said, no. I said, man, we need her on a CD. We need to. She should be our mascot or something. People will come when they hear her. And now, you know, now everybody's excited and interested because her gift is making room for her. But she had to make it available. Shy as she is, she had to make it available. And we want you to know that we are really open to the fact, and not even open, we are asking you, will you come and present your gift? How do you do that? If there is not already a structure where you can just get involved, you phone us, or you walk up to us, or you email us, or you SMS us, and you say, listen, I am really good at this or at that. Can you make room for my gift? And if there is not room yet, then we say, well, you make room for it. You go and pray, and you take responsibility for it. Because if God put you in this church with this gift, certainly there is a purpose for it. Certainly we are going to use it to extend God's kingdom. So maybe when you pray, it does not sound like, you know, the most experienced prayer, what is the word? And maybe when you take the microphone, you are so nervous that you actually just pack up and freeze. But maybe there is something powerful that you can do, and we do not know about it. So can you remember this day when one of the leaders in church stood in the front and asked you to make known your gift? We need people for so many things. And it is quite a job to distribute jobs to certain people, but we are more than willing to do that if you make known your gift. So how are we going to come to this place where the church is really mobilized and where you really can find where you fit in? I want to read from Matthew 19, verse 30, where Jesus speaks and he says, but many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. So we need to look at the fact that if I am in this church, if God called me to be here, if I am a part of the big puzzle to make this church work, and I can assure you this morning, I cannot explain to you how excited I am for what God is doing in our midst. It is huge. And if you saw, and some of you saw it, the struggle that we've been through earlier in the year, and the many tears, and the crying out to God at night, God help us, just do something, God, we are really struggling. And the way that God is just coming, and just really, He's really busy mobilizing us. And every single one of us is called to be a part of it. Now the word says, those who are last shall be first, and those who are first shall be last. This speaks about humility. And if we want to come, and there's something that we should understand. When we make ourselves available for the kingdom of God, and we want to do it for our own sake, and we want to do it for our own glory, it is not going to make room for us. That gift is not going to make room for us. But God can change this town and this community with a church that is humble and willing to be lost. In other words, it could be something like, yes, I do have an amazing ability to intercede. Or I do have a fantastic ability like Colleen to just take a place and make it, change it completely and make it look absolutely stunning. But I am willing to pick up the papers. And I am willing to wash the cups. And I am willing to do something that is not convenient to me. And I am willing to serve because somebody has to do it. And I can assure all of us, go and ask any person who possesses a high position in the church of God. with a lot of influence, and I'm not speaking about people who are compromising on the Word of God or churches who are preaching something that is not aligned with the Word of God, which is very, very common in my opinion. I'm speaking about God-fearing churches and people like John Bevere, who's got a lot of influence, and Reinhard Bonnke and whoever they are, lots of them out there. Go and ask them, and Suzette Hutton, who's a powerful, well-known intercessor. Go and ask them, did you ever serve in the church? Did you ever have to do something that you did not feel like doing? And they will tell you, oh man, for many years. You know, I am standing here. I wanted to take this microphone ever since I was 5 years old. And when I came to the Lord and I became born again, I just knew what I wanted to do. But there was just no room for me. I had to pack chairs. I know I'm still fairly young, but I became born again before I was 21. So it started then already for me. I had to pack chairs many, many hundreds of times. I had to be at church at 5 o'clock. I was carrying around sound equipment. I was washing cups. I was painting, whatever. I was doing children's church for so many years, not really desiring to do it for 12 years almost. So much that I had to do to serve. And still, me personally, I do a lot of things that I would love for other people to do. I don't like to sort out the storeroom. But often I just come because somebody has to do it, and this is my job, and I have time, and I can come and do it now. Somebody has to do it. It's the same for all of us. And you can go and look. Always, the people who God can use in the most mighty and powerful way are those willing to serve. And out of that place, we have a humble heart and a willing heart. And out of that place, God can raise us up. And our gift will be able to come forward and to show. And you know, there's a time when it's almost like God, like, it's not the same for everybody, but it's like often a sense that I have a friend, a very good friend. And her husband has got a great lot of authority in the Shofar family, but she's always been on the background and she's always been underestimated and all of those things because of various reasons and partly her own fault. But anyway, she spoke to me once and she said to me, "I wish people would know what I could do. I wish people could see my ability and my." You know, that I'm actually good at this and that and the other. And that God actually wants to use me. And I said to her, you just relax about that. I said to her, just trust God, because there will come a time. It's like God will pick you up and show you to the world. That is just the way it works many times. There comes a time when anybody says, who is this Angus Buchan? Have you heard Angus Buchan? You know, who is this man? And suddenly, he is known. It is not about being famous. Some of us have no desire to be known. I met a lady who said to me, the fewer people recognize me in the shop, the happier I am. I have no desire to be known. That's the way God makes us. But we all have a desire to do what we do best and be rewarded for it. And our reward is to see the fruit of our hands. So if Louise dances here in the front with the tambourine and the flag and releasing that anointing that is released when she dances, that is the reward of it. It is that satisfaction that what I am doing here for God is I see the power of it. When they walk in here and they see, wow, when they see the table that the ladies, if you lay a table like that, and I can promise you the tables were astounding, and the ladies go, you know, my family came in on Thursday and they said, wow, who did these tables? And one of them said, not you, was it? I didn't take that personally. You know, and we just, there's a reward, there's a satisfaction in doing what we do well, and we see that the fruit of it is indeed going to be eternal. So my request this morning is, bring your gift and do not despise your gift. And if it seems insignificant, that is a lie from Satan. If that is what your gift is, bring it. And we, you know, as a church, we all need to understand this. The word says, do everything as unto the Lord. That is why in the workplace, if you have a terrible boss who really is unfair, you still do that job as unto the Lord. And if you have a husband and God says submit, and that is a sermon on its own, and it really is a blessing and not a curse, ladies. And it's difficult to submit under that man, you do it as unto the Lord. That is the golden rule. So if you bring your gift, let me first read this. I'm almost finished. Ephesians 5 verse 2, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. If you bring your gift, I can guarantee you, if you are going to, in the body of Christ, in church, if you are going to go all the way with that gift, it will take sacrifice. Can I say it again? It will take sacrifice. It will take quite a bit of sacrifice. If you are not prepared to sacrifice for the kingdom of God, you will never go all the way with this gift. So if you are very fixed upon your routine and your hours and what will suit you and what will not suit you, and this is the way we are going to do it, and I want to do it this way, and we are going to, it is not going to go all the way. If you get offended by people and you are not willing to work through that offense and to forgive through that offense and to love again, your gift is not going to go all the way. It will die a premature death. Will it change some lives? Most probably. Will it bring joy? I am sure. Will it run its full course? Most probably not. So this is what I want to say this morning. If you are going to bring your gift and you are not willing to sacrifice for it, please do not bring it. Can I say that again? We don't want to put up with people who do things for themselves. And if you do that thing for me, or Anton, or Suli, or Amanda, or Johan, or Vilna, or Jacques, or Louise, or any leadership figure in this church, if you are going to do it for us, if you are bringing it to us, please keep it. We are going to disappoint you most probably, because we are just human. If you bring that gift, you bring it to God and for the purposes of God and for the kingdom of God, and you are going to have to sacrifice for it. I can tell you, to make the Celebrate conference happen on Thursday, a couple of ladies did not sleep much. A couple of ladies did not spend much time with their children for that week. You know, I was for the whole week, I was telling my kids, not now, I'm sorry, not now, I cannot give attention to you now. And it was terrible for me, but I made that sacrifice. And this week I'm going to make up for it, completely and absolutely, like I always do. But I hated it. I hate sending them away. But that was just what it called for, to make this thing happen. And whatever the commitment is that you make, if you are not going to be willing to make some sacrifices and to be flexible and to be open to somebody else's opinion, it is not going to run its full course. But when you bring it and you understand us, not me, you know, in a marriage, if we can understand this in a marriage, it would make life so much easier. Us and not me. We are not against each other here. We are all against the devil. We are not fighting each other here. We are together fighting the devil. And if you bring your gift, you bring your contribution, and you are willing to sacrifice for it, and you are willing not to get the praises for it, because the Word of God says, do not praise yourself. And just wait for that reward in heaven. Do not look for the praises of man. If you can do whatever you do for God without expecting anybody to say well done, you are in the right place in your heart. Because God will say well done. And I can promise you, if God says well done, it is glorious. Who of you have experienced God saying well done to you? Anybody? Couple of us. You know, when God says well done, it's like, wow, God is pleased with me. I couldn't care less what people say if God is pleased with me. And if we all come in this way, we can indeed change the world. And as I say so often lately, the faith that I have and the vision that I have and that we have and that God is imparting to us is so much bigger than what we would ever contemplate beforehand. I can see this church being small enough. I can see that we will reach not only this town and this community, but much further. If we can understand this, if we can understand, I can bring my gift and I can be willing to sacrifice and not expect any reward. I can be flexible. And that gift will run its full course. And you will for sure experience the satisfaction of making your contribution. I want to read a last scripture before I end. And this is in 1 Chronicles 11 verse 18 and 19. This is very precious. This is where David and his mighty men, all the men who was with David when he was running away from King Saul, and they made many wars and they had many experiences together. And then they were sitting in a cave somewhere, and David said this. David said, "Ooh, I am so thirsty." And he was just thinking out loud, and he said, "What I would not give for a bit of fresh, pure, clean water." This is what David said. Listen to this. Then the three mighty men, these are three of David's followers, broke through the camp of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. But David would not drink it. He poured it out to the Lord and said, "Far be it from me before my God that I should do this. Shall I drink the lifeblood of these men? For at the risk of their lives they brought it." Therefore he would not drink it. These things did the three mighty men. This is about a leader who says, "I'm thirsty." You know, that's like me saying, "I wish I had a chocolate now," you know. And somebody goes and they risk their lives to get me a chocolate because that's just where their hearts are at. And David says, "I am thirsty. I wish I could have water from that well of Bethlehem. That's the best water." And the three mighty men, because they have such a heart for their leader, they are so radical. They jump up. They risk their lives. They broke through the enemy camp to get him some water. And they bring the water back, and he is so dumbfounded. He cannot believe it. He takes that water. It could be potentially offensive if they didn't understand what he was doing, I suppose. He takes that water and he throws it out and he says, "This is holy. The way that these people love me, the way that they would risk their life for me, I must give it to God as a sacrifice." Now this is the last principle that I want to share. Can you stay with me for another 5 minutes? I'm very connected. I can feel it if I lose you. Last 5 minutes. There is no way that we can operate in unity if we have a democratic style of doing things. And some people find this offensive. But you know, the way God works is God has a kingdom and He is the King. And whatever God says, whatever God decides, whatever God commands, that is it. That is the voice that we obey. That is what we do. Nothing more, nothing less. We cannot question God. And then God comes and He appoints people. And the Word of God says, all authority are appointed by God. Even though we really may question it. All authority are appointed by God. So He appoints people. And over us as a church group, He appointed Pastor Fred and Lucille May. And if you listen to the sermon that I brought on who we are, there's a much more that I say about that. But God appointed them over us. And God speaks to them. Because He created them to lead this group. And they have people around them to whom they are accountable. They are not just missioning on their own. But we need to understand this principle. If Pastor Fred May, who is the leader that God gave us, if he says, I am thirsty, then we fetch him water. Because this is biblical. And Pastor Fred May appointed Heinrich as our regional leader. And we respect that and we honor that. And when Heinrich says, I am thirsty, we take him water. Because that is biblical. Now, why is that? Have you ever learned in life, it is better to be in unity and make a mistake than not be in unity and do the right thing? Have you noticed that? One can do the right thing with this unity. Think of a marriage. Think of a marriage. And that disunity has the potential to destroy that marriage. That is why when a husband makes a decision, the wife has to pray about it, and if she feels it is the wrong decision, and I think most wives might have been through it, if you feel it is the wrong decision, you have to come to the place in your heart where you make a peace with it and you go with that decision. Whether it means to move or whatever it may be, you submit because that is biblical. And when that is a mistake, you stick together. You are together. And throughout this wrong decision, there was love and there was unity and there was safety. But when there is disunity, it can destroy everything. So when a leader makes a mistake, and King David made many mistakes, the word says the love of God covers a multitude of sin. We cover that sin, but we do not rebel. Because we can bring our gift and we can make our contribution. If we are not in unity, it is not going to make any difference. It is not going to help. And we must understand that God brings authority and we need to honor that authority. And when we bring our gift and we bring our contribution and we make that sacrifice and it is not the way that we think it should be, we take it to God and we trust God and we pray to God. If somebody's heart needs to change, we pray that change into being. We take it up with God. But we stay together. We stay in unity. And we don't look back and say, I said so. Ooh, I knew that. I saw that coming. Because we forgive and we move on. Can we have the worship team up here quickly, please, Brendan? We can just have some soft music. Water. You brought me water. We are really at a place as a church. We've really come to a place, I believe, where God really wants to take us further. And God really wants to establish His purposes through us. And it is so important for us that our hearts will be at the right place. And it is so important for us to understand that if I am not willing to bring my gift, and if I am not willing to make the sacrifices that are needed, if I am not willing to do whatever it takes to keep the unity, then I am not going to be a part of what God is doing. And I can just see, and many of us can see, the times that we live in is desperate. And so many people are simply falling out of the bus. So many people just say, I cannot do this, I am not going to do this. And I pray to God that there will be a second chance for them. I really do. But as for us, I want to encourage us this morning. Will we allow God to take our hearts and mold it, and take our lives and mold it the way that He wants it to be, so that we as a church can become what God is calling us to become? And I want to tell you, if you are here this morning and your heart is towards God, there's no way, if you make this decision today, there is no way that God's grace is not enough. No way. If my aunt, who's been stabbed so many times, who's been raped over and over again, if she can stand up and say, I want to live because I know God and I have a purpose on this earth, then every one of us can understand that. And you know, none of us want to die one day regretting things. It is the saddest thing to see somebody on their deathbed with only regret. And for none of us, it is too late to find that thing that God has placed inside of us. You know, I just look at Lorraine here in the front. Lorraine is busy getting involved with us as we are reaching out to poorer communities and starting to reach out to the poor and the needy and the hungry and the cold. And I just look at her when we are there and I can see in her eyes, this is, am I right, Lorraine? This is what she was made for. Nothing will give her more satisfaction than reaching out to those people in need. God can go so far. Like Amanda said this morning, we think we should provide. We don't need. God can go so far with a heart that is willing. With a heart that is willing. And for some of us, we need to go and battle things out with God. Some of us get very angry. Some of us get very offended. Some of us get very hurt. And I really want to say this morning, that is okay. That in itself is no problem. We are all fallen. How we deal with it. How we deal with it. And I want to encourage us. We should go home and, like Jacob wrestled with God, we should wrestle with God. We should wrestle with God until that thing is worked through. We should wrestle with God. And we should come back and report for duty. I am ready to bring my contribution. I am ready to make that sacrifice. I am ready to keep the unity and to follow the leader, whatever it may take. And I am willing to wrestle things out with God and not with people. I put a message on Facebook. Some of you are my Facebook friends and you all liked it. I put a message on Facebook this week and I said the ladies, referring to our conference, but I actually meant the people. in our church and in our Secunda church, because they are still very much a part of us. I said they are just the smartest and the best people on the planet. You know why I said that? Because I am so grateful when I look at you. I am so grateful for the people that God is adding. I would not want any other people. I would not want anybody else. These are the people that God gave, and we want to celebrate you because you are so precious. You know, on the Thursday, more than one person said to me, the way that our hall and our tables look, they said, what talent do we have here? What talent? And I said, what a church, man. What a church. What a church. How much do we have? How far can we go? And I have a belief in me that obviously comes from God. It is childlike. Some people will think it is ridiculous, but it is not. Because for God, all things are possible. And I have like a childlike belief in me that we in this church, together with other churches that God is calling, but today, specifically speaking about us, we can change this nation. I honestly believe it. You may think I'm crazy. Some of you probably do. I really don't care. I really believe it. God is looking for a people who will be humble before Him, but bold. Humble like a little lamb, but roaring like a lion. Not afraid, not intimidated, not fearful, just humble. Can we stand as we pray?